Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthier weight and get on with your life. And that is especially challenging during these days of quarantine. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. But first, if you want to call in and talk to me about whatever is going on in your mind, in your life, that number here in the studio, which the studio is now in my home office, the number is 818-602-4929. You will maybe talk to my engineer first, who will patch you through to me. 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, or compulsive eating, any kind of unhealthy, unhappy relationship to food, the real problem is not food. The real problem is what is eating at you. And right now, no matter where you are in the world, I am sure you've got a source of anxiety shared by everyone: coronavirus anxiety. Now, that could be anxiety about getting sick. It can be financial anxiety. It could be fears about the future. It could be anxiety related to missing some people, to not being able to give people you love a hug, to just touch them, to see them. It could be about being around other people 24 hours a day. There are lots of ways that you may be feeling anxious during this time. And I hear from a lot of you who are afraid of gaining weight during this time, something I'm going to talk about in depth further, but I want to share with you what Jose wrote me. He asked me to discuss body positivity versus healthy food habit thoughts. Jose, I'm going to talk about body positivity versus healthy food habit thoughts, which probably you can all relate to, right? This is something I just wrote about in an email to my community this week. So Jose, I'm going to answer your question by reading my email, because really I said it all in the email. So I'm going to say it all to you. Let you know what I said in that email. And what I said is, what I'm about to tell you is a sensitive and very controversial topic. Is it possible to lose weight if you stop dieting? And should you even care? Or should you look in the mirror and accept your body no matter what it looks like or what you feel about it? So let me start off by saying this first. I never encourage anyone to diet. You know that. I am anti-diet. I am starting an anti-diet revolution. Join me, warriors, in the anti-diet revolution, because diets don't work. Diets only bring you harm. And guess what? This is something I talk about at length in my book, The Binge Cure. They actually make you gain weight in the long run. So do not diet. It will not work. It will only bring you harm. Now, a lot of binge eating coaches or eating disorder therapists, it's sort of black and white that they're thinking. If you were to ask them, they'd say, well, wanting to lose weight is bad. You should not think about losing weight. You should think about just accepting your body and having a healthy relationship with food. You should love yourself and your body for who you are. And here's the controversial part. Here's where I disagree with that. Because in my 18 years of running my own practice, I have met a lot of people, people who struggle with binge eating or bulimia, or some have a hard time with both or restricting. That was me during my adolescent years. I help people of all sizes, thin, heavy, It doesn't matter. I've helped everyone from people who have a normal weight, but they struggle with food, to people who are 15 pounds overweight to 150 pounds overweight and everything in between, or even more than 150 pounds overweight. I have sat down and talked with these people and talked with my people that I coach in my online program. Some of them, you know, in analysis, we talk a few times a week. We have sessions 3 or 4 times a week for months, sometimes years. These people are exceptionally strong. They open up about their deepest fears, their insecurity. It takes so much trust and courage to do that. But a lot of people who say, well, you should just accept your body no matter what, I don't think that they've really put the time in to talk with people about their experience. They haven't talked with them consistently for an extended period of time about the deep stuff, the deep, 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 deep stuff. So they don't get it. They just don't understand. They don't understand what it's like for people when other people automatically assume they're lazy or greedy or undisciplined. They have no willpower. They have no control. They don't understand what it's like to go shopping at a grocery store and have other people judge you for the contents in your cart or give you that look, you know, that sizing you up and down. It is humiliating to, for example, ask for an extended seatbelt when you're flying, for those days when we could fly. I don't know who's flying now, but you know what I'm talking about. They have no idea how your heart shatters in a million pieces when your own kids are embarrassed about your weight and how your kids don't want to be seen in public with you because they're embarrassed about you. This is so painful. And I know people who have told me these things. Many, many people have told me these types of things. Jose, I see you just joined us. I'm answering your question. People have opened up to me about their feelings about their weight, and I have cried with them because I have felt their pain. And yes, they want to stop binge eating. They want to stop overeating. They want to change their relationship with food. They also want to lose weight. They have no intention of looking like a Sports Illustrated model. That is not what they want. But the deeper under the surface we go, when we pull back layer after layer and find the truth, we see what's really truly holding them back. It's their fears about what happens if they lose that excess weight. It's not about somebody else's approval. It's not because they believe people will accept them more if they do. They want to lose weight for their own sake and their own happiness. And some of them want to be healthier. They want to live an active lifestyle. They don't want their knees and feet hurting anymore. They don't want their back hurting anymore. They don't want to feel out of breath all the time. They don't want to risk diseases, something happening to them. And yes, some people don't want their kids to be embarrassed about them. There are a lot of reasons why people want to lose weight. And many people don't get that. And a lot of coaches don't get that. For some people, just accepting your body at any size is not the solution. And it is not, gosh, I'm just sick and tired of it being a one-size-fits-all solution for everyone. Just pardon the pun. I want to help people live happy, healthy, loving, good lives. And if someone has a desire to not be overweight anymore, who am I to say they can't? Or that they shouldn't. I can't force people to continue being overweight, and nor do I want to. I can't lie to them by saying it's okay to accept themselves if they're not okay with it. And I am not saying you can't carry excess weight and not be happy. I'm not saying that everybody is truly unhappy at their core. A lot of people are overweight and just fine with it. They accept themselves, good for them. But not everybody feels that way. That is not the case for most people. That is not the case with the people that I talk to. So for some people, hearing just accept your body is not enough. I am not a weight loss coach. right? I am not a weight loss psychoanalyst. I am not a weight loss therapist. I am a psychoanalyst. I am a coach. I am a therapist. But I am not here. It's not about losing weight. Losing weight is the product of changing your relationship with yourself. If you get control over your relationship with food, the weight loss will come automatically and organically. That's the thing. You need to take control of your relationship with food first. And that means figuring out what is causing you to turn to food. Because if you are turning to food, you are turning away from something else. Food is a solution to the problem. Let me say that again because it is so important. It is a solution to a problem. It is not the problem. If you're feeling upset, it is a solution to that. It takes you away from that. It is a way of expressing, say you're angry at somebody or something, but you can't express it, or you think you can't express it, but you sure can express it with food. You can eat something that then get angry at yourself. Then you express the anger by eating and then getting angry at yourself. It's a displacement. You got to find out what is really causing you to turn to food. And that is why I always say it is not what you are eating that is the problem. It is what's eating at you. Now, I get a lot of slack for saying what I just said. And this is pretty much what I said in the email that I sent out to my community today. By the way, if you want to join my email list, just shoot me a DM or email me or, you know, contact me in some way, whether on Instagram or through my website or, just say, hey, I want to be on your email list, or go to my website. And if you haven't already gotten my book, you can get the first two chapters free. Just go to Dr. Nina Inc., DrNinainc, and I will send you my first two chapters of my book, The Binge Cure, for free, and you'll get on my list. Okay, so that is my two cents. That is how you balance self-acceptance with thinking about food. Self-acceptance does not mean accepting your body as it is. It means accepting, okay, I am doing my best to be my healthiest self, and I am going to have the body that I want by changing my relationship with myself. The less you focus on food, the more you focus on what is weighing on you, you're going to lose weight naturally because you're going to start attending to your feelings and your emotions and your internal world in a whole new way. And when you do that, you're not using food to cope. Okay. So hopefully that answers your question. Jose, if you have any further questions, I see you're watching me on Instagram. Just shoot me a message. Okay. Got to take a sip of tea here and then I will carry on. All right. Now I want to share. Oh, wait. Again, anyone wants to call in, please join me. 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. All right, I want to share a Huffington Post article called Stop Obsessing Over Quarantine Weight Gain and Cut Yourself Some Slack. This is written by Christine Byrne, and it's a really great article, so I had to share it. She says the COVID-19 pounds of weight gain memes are popping up pretty much the second we started social distancing and staying home. And while it's always infuriating when people make jokes about weight gain, the Quarantine 15 posts and advice articles are especially gross. I agree. They are really gross, especially when people are dying outside in hospitals, which is not to say you can't worry about your weight while people are suffering and struggling and losing money and their lives. Of course, it's still something that bothers you and it still needs your attention. But some of these articles are gross. There is enough stress right now, she says. Unemployment is skyrocketing. Hospitals are on overflow. People are struggling to meet their basic needs. No one really knows when or how all of this will end. The fear of added pounds during this time is a reflection of the diet culture we live in. We are terrified of weight gain, even in the midst of unprecedented global pandemic, because we are constantly flooded with messages that gaining weight or living in a larger body is very, very bad. We're collectively obsessed with diets, products, and intense workout routines that feature before and after photos. In times of such anxiety and uncertainty, of course, we cling to these weight-centric obsessions. They are familiar, and right now, that makes them almost comforting. Still, this incessant communal fear of weight gain really sucks. It's especially harmful for anyone with a history of eating disorders. But it is stressful for pretty much anyone. And again, there are too many actually legitimate things to be stressed about right now. I don't want to say it is illegitimate to worry about your weight during this time. It is a legitimate fear, but we want to put it in perspective. Ultimately, because we don't want to make a false equivalency. Worrying about your weight is not the same as worrying about what's happening in the world. But it is still something, if it is bothering you, it needs your attention. But how much attention, that is the question. Unfortunately, the weight gain jokes aren't going away anytime soon. Oh, Ronan is telling me he's adding a caller. Hello, caller?
Hello, this is Brian from Chicago, Dr. Nina. How are you?
Oh, Brian from Chicago. It's been a long time. How are you? It's good to hear from you. How are you doing in Chicago?
You know, I think I'm doing as well as everybody else, which is I'm staying home. I'm not going out unless I absolutely need to get some sort of groceries, mask, gloves, distancing, and that's it. Netflix is becoming my best friend. How are you doing? And, you know, your family and all that stuff, are you all doing okay?
We are all doing well. Let me just tell someone on Instagram. There's a problem with the feed, Carly Gash, so the LA Talk Radio isn't working right now. So being on Instagram is your best bet to hear me right now. The feed will go up later, but right now there's an issue with the stream. Brian from Chicago, I will tell you, I am so happy to hear that you are maintaining the quarantine. I hear from a lot of people who see people not maintaining the quarantine. It's very troubling. We all need to stay safe and adhere to these policies, which are about keeping ourselves and each other safe. This is a time when we also have to think about other people. We don't know if we are carriers or not. Let me just get on my soapbox for a second. We don't know if we're carriers or not, but we may be. And that's why wearing masks and not being around each other, it's our part in protecting other people. It's not just about us being protected. Okay. Thank you for letting
completely agree. I think that people who are going out without masks are people, I think I saw something on the news from where you are in Southern California, people on beaches, and it's selfish because they're eventually some of them are going to get sick, and that's going to put all of us right back into this quarantine. So that's just prolonging it for everybody.
Absolutely. Yes. Amen.
Well, I'm glad that you're personally okay. So here is my question, and I apologize because I have a feeling you have probably gotten this question a lot. But just for my own sake, on those few occasions that I do go to a grocery store to go get things, obviously we're all experiencing what it's like to see empty shelves, things that you need to get that aren't there. And it put me in mind of those folks I know who struggle with some sort of, you know, eating disorder or eating issue or, you know, body image issue, that a lot of what they go through kind of turns around the idea of being deprived. And so what do you say to people who have worked very hard to kind of recognize what triggers them and, you know, try to cope with that, that just the mere act of going out to get things to sustain you during this, you're walking right into the idea of deprivation, whether you're in a pharmacy or a grocery store or even just walking on the street. And it's like the world has been deprived of other people.
Yeah, that
all of that, I imagine, just takes root inside a person's head. So What do you say to people to try to deal with that?
That is a great question, because just for the Instagram folks who aren't getting able to listen to you. Yes, the question is about what happens when you go to the grocery store and the shelves are empty. What does that do in terms of being triggered when you feel deprived? So Brian, what you're really asking about is the experience of deprivation, of course, only makes you want something more. One of the reasons why diets ultimately fail, because you want what you cannot have, and then you want more of it. For example, I'm not a fan of tuna fish. It even happened to me. I'm not really a fan of canned tuna. But when I thought, oh no, there's not going to be enough canned food, and we got to get something in the house just in case the food chain, something happens and there was no tuna, suddenly I needed to have tuna. So I think that, you know, to your point, it is triggering. And when you get triggered, you got to remember my very acronym to comfort yourself and to calm yourself down, because what happens is people get triggered and then they don't know how to respond to themselves. They don't know how to comfort themselves. And that's when they turn to food for comfort, for escape, or to numb themselves. So the very acronym is to validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. So that would be something along the lines of, yes, it's upsetting, it's scary, and it's anxiety producing to see these empty shelves. Right? Of course it is. It's scary to think that we might not have enough food, or we might not have what we want, or we just might not have enough.
Right.
I'm not done. That's the validate and acknowledge.
I'm not leaving.
And then the reassure part is, this is temporary. No, we don't know how long it is going to last, but it is going to end. There will be food on the shelves again. It's not going to be forever. And we have enough of, you know, right now we do have enough. We're not going to, well, not, I, as I say that, I'm very cognizant that there are people going to food banks every day. And there are a lot of people who Right. don't have enough. But even that, you know, even if you don't have it at home, there are places where you can get food. There are resources available. There's food stamps. There are food banks, you know, to remind yourself that you're not going to be without forever, and that there are resources available. It's like with toilet paper, right? The anticipation of deprivation made everyone go out and try to find toilet paper like crazy. So, but you got to have that sense of being able to comfort yourself. Then you will be able to comfort yourself with words. You will respond to yourself without turning to food for comfort.
Right. And maybe accessing people like you. There are, I'm sure, platforms available to talk to somebody, so you're not just at home sheltering by yourself or with people who maybe they trigger you, or you just can't really communicate with them very well, or you don't want to burden them, or whatever. Just reach out, I guess, would be something else.
Yes. Reaching out, community is a huge part of it. That's why I have my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community on Facebook as well. By the way, guys, if you're not a member, please join. And later on, I'm going to tell you about a new community that my friend Kelly Gunter and I are creating, but I'm going to get to that at the end of the show. Yes. Community cool. is also another way of comforting ourselves, to remind ourselves that we are not alone. So Brian from Chicago, thank you so much. It's been a while, and whenever I have semi-regular callers and I don't hear from them, I always think, well, what happened to them? So it's wonderful to hear from you, and I'm glad that you're doing well in Chicago.
You too.
Stay safe and stay healthy.
I will call back soon, and I'll be listening at the end of the show for that new community of yours. I'm very interested.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Take good care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was really a great question, because, you know, deprivation, or the anticipation of deprivation, is a trigger for sure. So we have to remind ourselves what is and not what if, right? What if is fear about the future. What is what we know to be true now. And one of the things we know to be true is, you know, this will end. We just don't know when. So back to the article, she says that recognizing that your weight gain fears come from messages you've internalized, and these messages aren't necessarily true. And she goes on to talk with some dietitians who say that diet culture is sending direct messages like quarantine 15 memes and tips for not gaining weight for quarantine. But there are also subtler messages everywhere. The absence of large bodies in the media, or comments like, are you sure you want to eat that, when you're going for a slice of the office birthday cake in the days when we had offices. Oh, and now Ronan says he is adding Nicole.
Hi, Dr. Nina.
Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wanted to talk to you about something. It's kind of a question more. Well, it was kind of my sister's question. She's like, we have all this cake in the house, and I feel like I don't know what to do. Like, it was making her really anxious, and I told her that, well, maybe you're anxious about something else, and that's why you can't control yourself. Or you feel like it's so irresistible, or you want to eat it all. And I feel like a similar thing happened with me yesterday when I went to this Persian market, and I bought all these like really good, they're like, they're really good.
Okay. So the question is, I think the question is, what happens when you've got a bunch of forbidden food, I guess you're talking about, in the house, whether it's cake or something else. Carly, yeah. Gash, I see your question. I will answer your question after I talk to Nicole. What to do about it. So first of all, there's the notion that if you have cake or goodies or whatever in the house, that they're inherently bad and you shouldn't eat them. Would you agree with that?
No.
No, I mean, but a part of you has grown up with that idea.
Oh, yeah.
So Nicole,
not the reprogrammed, or
not the reprogrammed. Yeah, not so.
Yeah.
So the reprogrammed Nicole, as she just called herself, says that she knows better. But when we change, there's a part of us that is drawn to the familiar, which is the old way of doing things, which is the way that you did things for forever. And then there's the new way of thinking and your new outlook. And that is, it doesn't come as easily at first, until it does come easily. So when you talk about, well, what do you do with the cake in the house or the goodies in the house? If you have a mentality of, I shouldn't eat it, then you're going to want it more. If you have the mentality of, I can have it and I can choose not to, I can choose to have it and I can choose not to have it, then you can actually decide if you want it. And this is a tough shift to make, because, you know, if you've been programmed to think you shouldn't have it, and it's bad to have it, and carbs are bad, and all the things that you've said when you call the show, then it's hard for you to access that other part of your mind that says, no, it's fine, I can have it. Do I want it? You know, easier said than done. But when people do this, they often say things like, wow, I didn't realize I didn't really like that cake. I wanted it when I couldn't have it, and then I had it, and
right.
I realized it wasn't so good.
Not even that good. Yeah.
So good. Or people will say, I'm just going to have a little sliver. I'm going to give myself permission, but I'm just going to have the tiniest little bit. Well,
right.
No, don't do that. Cut yourself a normal size piece of cake.
Decide
if you like it or not, if you want to finish it or not. And when you know you could have all the cake you want, when you really give yourself permission, and it's not about deprivation, you might find that you don't like the cake as much as you thought. You might find that you love the cake, but you're fine with having half of it because you can know you can have more of it tomorrow. Instead of, I'm only going to have this cake today, and then I'm not going to have cake for the next 37 days.
So it took me, I love every single word that came out of your mouth, and like it resonates because I feel like I was like that with peanut butter. But sometimes I catch myself, let's say like I'm in the act, but like let's say I'm eating a piece of cake or whatever, then in the moment, even though I allow myself before, I'll be eating it and then I'll feel guilty. And then I'm like, well, let me just like eat this all, or should I throw it away so I don't have to think about it? So it's like, even if I give myself permission, sometimes in the moment, like I have this shame and guilt, and then that's when it goes south. So how to deal with that in the moment?
Okay, so in the moment. So there's a part of you that says you could have the cake. And then while you're eating the cake, there's a part of you that feels very guilty. And then guilt gets converted into shame. And then guilt derails you. So when you feel guilty, instead of then saying, well, should I eat the rest of it or shouldn't I? Because now it's about the cake. I want you to challenge the guilt. What exactly are you feeling guilty about? Because we feel guilty when we're doing something we don't think we should be doing. So if you're eating cake and feeling guilty, then what does that mean? That means you think you shouldn't be eating cake. So that's the part of yourself that you need to really challenge. What am I guilty for? What's the crime? Cake?
It's no crime. It's just having a little bit of sweets. And we're like, why can't I have a little bit of sweets if I'm craving it and I want it? Then should just allow myself to have as much as I want and not feel bad about it.
Exactly. So in the moment when you feel yourself feeling guilty about eating cake or whatever it is, say, wait a second. Kind of create an internal courtroom. So the prosecutor, which is, of course, the voice of your mother who says dirt should be on her head. She should be in a coffin if she eats a piece of cake.
Right.
The prosecutor is saying, you should not eat that cake. You have committed the crime of cake.
And then you feel
like the guilty party, and you're like, I'm guilty. I did it. I ate cake. And then you feel terrible. And then you think about cake. But if there's an internal courtroom, you also have a defense attorney. So when the prosecutor part of you says, hey, you ate cake, that's bad. You're bad. You did something wrong. You gotta give the defense attorney some power. And defense attorney will say to the judge, Your Honor, eating cake is not a crime. Eating cake is normal, part of healthy eating. There's a difference between also eating to resolve something emotional. That's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing you're just eating cake.
Right.
And then because you think you shouldn't, you want more. Cake is not a crime. Cake is a part of normal human life. The history of cake goes back thousands of years. Humans have made cake throughout history, and there's nothing wrong with cake.
Right. No, you're right. That's right. That's right.
And then you won't feel so guilty anymore because
then you
balance this prosecutorial aspect of you that says, thou shalt not eat cake, you're guilty, with, hey, wait a minute, come on. It's cake. It's good. Try some.
That's great. Okay, I love that. Thank you so much, Nina. That is extremely helpful.
I'm happy to help. Great question. So, just practice your internal courtroom skills. Now you get to be a defense attorney in addition to all else that you do. And the practice makes progress. Let me know how it goes.
Thank you so much. You know I will.
Okay.
Okay.
Take good care. Bye-bye. We're given the message that we shouldn't eat carbs. And so what happens when we eat carbs? We think we're bad. We feel guilt. We feel shame. We start beating ourselves up. And then we end up eating more just to escape our own mean voice. So we need to cultivate a different attitude. We need to say, hey, I'm having cake. There's nothing wrong with cake. Is it good? Is it not good? Am I satisfied? Am I not satisfied? Do I want it all? Am I done now? Those are the questions that you need to ask yourself. Guilt. If you feel guilty, ask yourself, what is your crime? Eating cake is not a crime. Just saying. Okay, back to the article. The first step in ignoring messages that about body shaming and weight gain and all of that is recognizing that weight gain or living in a larger body isn't inherently unhealthy. Health encompasses a whole variety of factors. It is multifactorial. So social determinants, race, socioeconomic economic status, gender, stress, perceived stigma, genetics, other lifestyle factors also play a huge role in your overall health. And the link between weight and health is complicated. A study of 100,000 Danish adults collected over 40 years found that people in the overweight category, now they're not defining what that category is, actually had the lowest mortality risk of all BMI categories. Very interesting. Of course, knowing this doesn't change the way you feel about weight gain, nor will it change the way our culture talks about it. But mentally calling out fat phobic thoughts and comments as they come up is a good place to start. Remember, also, the idea that everyone is going to gain weight during this pandemic is not true. You are not fated to gain weight. As if gaining weight is the most awful thing that could happen, it is not. But if it is awful to you, remember it will not automatically happen to you. The pandemic will not automatically lead to weight gain for everyone. I'm going to skip ahead to what she says about she says, we're hyper aware of what we're doing around exercise and eating, so we worry that we'll gain weight as soon as we loosen the reins. Such a regimented approach to eating and exercising isn't generally sustainable long-term. I would say it isn't sustainable long-term. Forget the generally. It isn't. Almost no one who loses weight through a restrictive diet is able to sustain significant weight loss for more than 5 years, and that dieting and other weight control behaviors usually just lead to weight cycling. Essentially, you lose weight when you start a new routine, but you inevitably gain it back, and then you find another routine that starts the cycle all over again. And again, as I've said many times, dieting leads in the long run to weight gain. Dieting does not lead to weight loss, and dieting makes you miserable. Now, some people say, no, it doesn't make me miserable. It makes me feel safe. I know what I'm doing. It tells me what to eat and what to not eat. Well, it's still taking up too much time in your life. Do you really want to live the rest of your life with some pre-prescribed idea of what you should or should not eat? Or do you want to get in touch with your body, intuitively be able to figure out what your body needs? And you can do that, by the way, only after you deal with what's eating at you, only after you deal with the emotional and internal things that are leading you to turn to food. But once you deal with that, then you just tune into your body. What is it that my body needs? Do I need protein? Do I need carbs? Do I just want a sweet just because? And just, it's that simple, and it's easier, and it's liberating. That's why I'm creating this anti-diet revolution, because it is liberating. It liberates you from all of these thoughts. Should I eat that? Should I not eat that? No, it's, what do I want? What does my body want? In the article, she says, emotional eating is kind of to be expected during this time. She says, a lot of things have changed recently. People's access to food has changed. Their schedules have changed. Their routines have changed. We've all had really stressful events happening. the food in your house is likely different than normal too. We're eating differently, different pattern, different foods. When things change, she says. So in the first week of quarantine, you may have gravitated towards comfort foods like pizza and ice cream. We tend to equate comfort foods with foods that are rich, savory, creamy, sweet, and generally more energy dense. If you know from my food mood formula, comfort foods are generally smooth, creamy, like ice creams, creamy consistencies. Even peanut butter can be a comfort food. That those kinds of creamy textures are associated with comfort. Now, lots of people think of comfort foods like, you know, mac and cheese or pasta or pizza that may comfort you, but it's also associated with filling a void. It's also associated with having your body just relax, because when you have really carb-heavy foods, it creates more lethargy in your body and it makes you relax. So it's a way of soothing physiologically your anxiety. She talks about intuitive eating, which of course I'm a big fan of intuitive eating after you deal with what's eating at you. She says, when someone first lets go of food rules and starts eating more intuitively, by the way, let me break down that just short intro to the sentence. When you let go of food rules, so important to recognize what your food rules are. What are your food rules? Are they, I can't eat carbs, I can't eat after a certain amount of time, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, I'm good if I eat that, I'm bad if I eat that. Like, really start to break down and recognize what are your food rules that you have taken as truths, as laws, as 10 commandments written in stone. Let's smash that stone. Let's figure out, you know, what's true and what's not true. Hard to do, but necessary. When someone first lets go of food rules and starts eating more intuitively, there's often an initial period where they go overboard on foods that had previously been off limits. That's because the anticipation of deprivation and the experience of deprivation just makes you want something more. So if you haven't let a single sweet carb pass your lips in months or weeks, and you start eating intuitively, of course you're going to want what you couldn't have. But these foods soon lose their intense appeal and you settle into a pretty normal eating routine. Well, I think it's a little more complex than that, but that's generally the idea. If people are paying attention to how they feel and just allowing themselves to eat what they want, emotional eating will eventually taper off, she says. Now, eat what you want. Very important to think about what you want for your body. Whoop. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, Andrea, how are you?
Not bad, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I was on a roll. I didn't see Ronan's message, but I'm glad that you are joining us. What is your question?
I love your insight into something per usual. Bit of a backstory. Last week and the week before that, I found myself I was scrolling through social media and I saw something that was just so grotesque that it triggered me. And it triggered me to the point where I just felt physically sick. I felt it to such a core. That was really hard to deal with.
Can you describe what it was that was so triggering? Overview that, because that's a very strong reaction to something that you saw on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a post. Both of my parents are refugees. So it was a post regarding an incident that had happened in their home country about 20 years ago during the war that happened. And there was a bit of a story about this family that went through something that was just like horrible. Like it's horrible isn't even the word to describe it. And it sent this wave of like sadness, of despair, of pretty much questioning all of humanity. And so it took a while for me to be able to deal with that. I hid the post on social media so I wouldn't see it again. And guess what? Somebody else I know shared it today. Somebody had, it went viral within the community and I saw it again. Did not have the same effect as last time, but it made me physically sick. And the post, believe it or not, mentioned food, but like not in like the way we think of food now. It just sent this wave of like true despair and sadness through me.
Okay,
I don't
so
really know how to deal with that because it's in that moment it totally overcame me. Like I sobbed, and I'm not a crier, but I sobbed. I sobbed for the people that the story was talking about. I sobbed for the other families affected. I sobbed because it's still something that goes on today. And I was on such a roll, and then I saw that twice.
Okay, so well, first of all, I just want to say that clearly you have such a loving heart and such empathy, and that this obviously this was a very disturbing post and touched you in probably multiple ways because it was about refugees and your parents are refugees and it was the same country, and it sounds like there was some kind of really grotesque, inhumane treatment of these people.
So
it could be that when we have very, 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 very strong reactions to situations that don't have to do with us or with people we know, sometimes it can be a disavowed feelings that you haven't allowed about yourself and your own situation or someone else or your family or your own situation. Like, part of it, I'm not discounting at all that you had this reaction about these people. You have empathy. Clearly you have a loving heart. But it could be that in addition, the intensity of it was because there was built up despair in your own life that you may have pushed away, you may have disavowed, and that this post just brought it all up and it just came rushing up and overwhelmed you. So the despair and the hopelessness. So the despair and the hopelessness that you describe, even though it appears to be about these people in this post, I would be wondering if it is about some aspect of you that you couldn't allow yourself to sob for yourself. You could sob for these people. And good for you that you sobbed and didn't turn to food, by the way. That's a win.
That's a huge win. It just, my mind didn't even go to food. I just knew that in that moment, I needed to cry. I needed to cry it out. And it's interesting that you kind of tied it back to my own experiences, because in that moment, that's what I was thinking about. I was like, what if that had been my own family? Like, what if that had been somebody I knew? And it related in a sense to something my own family had gone through, not completely, but that's sort of where I was looking at it from as well in that moment. And it was just, I can't even begin to say, it was just, it overwhelmed me. It was a big wave. And I know you always say, oh gosh, I'm about to misquote you, ride the wave.
Ride the wave. Yeah. So what I say is that when you feel something coming over you, and often I talk about it in terms of, oh, I've got to eat that, or I want to binge, or I want to go eat cookies, or whatever it is, just that know that like a wave, this urge to do that is going to build and build and build and build. And like a wave, it will crest and then it will diminish. And so if you can just, when it comes to doing something, taking an action that is not in your own best interest. Oops, I'm almost out of time. Look at that. Call me back and let's talk about this again next week, because
I
think to finish it, when it's behavior you don't want to do, you want to know that it's going to crest and then it's going to diminish. That's when you have behavior you don't want to do. But when you have behavior that needs to happen, not behavior, but when you have a reaction, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel despair and you're sobbing, You just need to sob until it's out. And that's how you get rid of feelings, by getting it out. You get rid of feelings not by thinking them away or being positive thinking them or eating or anything else. You get rid of feelings by feeling them. So I am sorry that you had such a horrible experience of despair and hopelessness. I suspect it has a lot to do with something within you, which again, we can talk about next week. But I'm glad that you allowed yourself to feel it, that this was what was eating at you. And then you felt better. And that really illustrates how it is we get rid of feelings. And that's how we change our relationship with food. When we feel what we feel, we don't need to use food for distraction or comfort.
Yeah, my mind didn't even go to food or comfort. I was like, I need to cry. I cried and I cried and I picked myself back up and I gave myself a hug because that's really been working and I really love doing that. So I've been giving myself, I gave myself a hug and I was like, okay, you've got this. You're, you know.
Good for you.
Work of encouragement.
Yes, the way to change our relationship with food is to change our relationship with ourselves. When you give yourself a hug and you give yourself words of encouragement instead of berating yourself or scolding yourself or being mean to yourself, in which case then you turn to food to get away from your own mean voice. So good for you. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Right. I will let you go and I will call back next week.
Call me next week. I feel like we have more to talk about with this.
We definitely do.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank
Bye.
You. Ronan, do I have a couple extra minutes? I'm just going to go. Ronan will cut me off so look, I know this is a tough time for so many of us. And that is why Yes. Ronan's giving me the go ahead. Okay. I know that this is such a tough time for so many of us. And that is why I teamed up with my friend, Kelly Gunter. She's the author of You Have Such a Pretty Face. Here it is for those of you. You Have Such a Pretty Face, a memoir of trauma, hope, and the joy that follows survival. And it is the story of her incredible transformation, losing 243 pounds, and then realizing the problem was never about food. Food was the solution to the problem. So it's like we have the same mind. So if you're a longtime listener, you may remember when Kelly came out to be on the show. She came out to LA, all the way from Ohio to be here on the show. We hit it off and we became friends after she was on the show. And so now I'm super excited because we teamed up together to create an exciting program called the Binge Free Babes Project. So what does that mean to you? We wanted to create a way to help you get to the root of your emotional needs, to improve your self-care, to heal past wounds and trauma, and to stop binging or stress eating. And really, we want you to live a life of freedom, of joy, and happiness. We want you to make peace with food and yourself. Just the important stuff, right? So we created the Binge Free Babes to do exactly that. It is a membership program where you get all kinds of bonuses, including my book, Kelly's book, and we're going to go through all the material in the books in the program. Plus, you get live, you get action plans, you get activities. There's a Facebook group, and you get direct access to me and Kelly in weekly live stream Zoom calls. So if you are interested, go over to bingefreebabes.com and find out more. I am super excited about it. I know you will be too. And that is our show for today. Thank you, Ronan, for giving me some extra time. Thank you for joining me here on LA Talk Radio. Stay curious, not critical, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina.